From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 332, System Center Orchestrator 2012, with guest Mickey Gousset. Recorded Monday, August 26th, 2013. Run As Radio is produced each week by Prop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and hey, thanks for listening to Run As Radio. With me today on the show is Mickey Gousset. He's a principal consultant for Infront Consulting Group, a consulting company focused on the Microsoft System Center family of products. He focuses mainly on System Center Operations Manager, Service Manager, and Orchestrator. He's a Microsoft ALM MVP and the lead author on several books, including Professional Application Lifecycle Management with Visual Studio 2012 from Rocks Publishing. And Mickey runs ALM Rocks at almrocks.com and speaks on ALM, Visual Studio, TFS, and System Center topics at various user groups, code camps, and conferences around the world. Welcome, sir.
Why, thank you, Richard. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too. You know, System Center is one of those things that's always around us, but I just feel like we don't talk about it enough, especially Orchestrator, because it sort of, you know, Operations Manager and Configuration Manager are sort of the bread and butter. You know, if you've got PCs, you probably want Config Man, and if you got servers, you probably want Ops Man. But Orchestrator is that, just that other guy.
It is. But it's really, if you look at some of the slides where we talk about the family of System Center now, Orchestrator appears underneath all the other products. And it's really, I look at it as kind of the glue that's going to allow you to interact with not just all the different System Center family of products, but any third-party product out there.
Well, and I also get the sense, it was an acquisition, wasn't it?
Correct. It was originally a company called Opalis, and back, I think in 2010, Microsoft bought Opalis, and they rebranded it Orchestrator. And then they, when they wrapped everything together in 2012, when they made all the System Center products one big family of System Center, Orchestrator 2012 was released. And it is just, I love this product. I could talk about this product for hours.
That's cool. And the other one you mentioned in your bio too, I don't think I've ever done a show on it, is Service Manager, but that's really Service Desk stuff, isn't it?
Exactly. It's Microsoft's entry into the service desk, help desk aspect, and it's also one of my main focuses, and it's designed to be an ITIL-compliant application that can do incident management, change management, problem management, release management, service requests, self-service, and there's also a really strong tie-in with Service Manager and Orchestrator. In fact, most times when I implement Service Manager, we implement Orchestrator side-by-side because they work together so well.
Because it strikes me that Orchestrator's job is to sort of take action on things. So Service Manager's not just collecting the complaint, but what the actions were taken on it?
Exactly. So Orchestrator is a runbook workflow kind of engine is how I like to refer to it. The idea being is you build these runbooks that then will execute and do different things depending on what you're trying to do. One of the tie-ins with Service Manager is that I could submit a service request for, let's say, creating a new user in Active Directory. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that service request is approved, it can automatically trigger an Orchestrator runbook to actually go do the work for us. So Orchestrator helps us automate all this stuff to allow us to be able to focus on some of the more complex tasks that we need to be working on in our organization.
This feels like a product that has a terrible blank page syndrome problem then, because it's like, I can do everything, you just have to tell me how.
And that's exactly what it is. You literally can do almost anything. One of the nice things about Orchestrator that makes it a tool that's easy to drop in place and have people use is that it's all visual. So it's all, I like to refer to it as Visio-like. Mm-hmm. You're actually dragging and dropping these different activities onto a screen and you're linking them together. So you're getting away from having to always write scripts to do your automation.
Now you're just talking crazy talk, Mr. Gousset, because I love writing scripts to do my automation.
And I like writing scripts as well, because I am my background is a developer. I'm slowly trying to live in this IT pro world for the past several years. And there are a lot of IT pros out there that are scripting geniuses. But there's just as many people that would like to stay away from scripts if they can. And with Orchestrator, I kind of get the best of both worlds, because I have the capability to do this drag and drop and link these activities together, where all I have to do is fill out some properties and it'll go, you know, run the workflow that I need. But at the same time, you're going to find, even with Orchestrator, you still have to do some scripting.
Okay.
So you still have to be able to write PowerShell scripts, or be able to write maybe even some C# code if you want to do something for which there aren't any activities. So don't worry, your scripting jobs will never go away.
So what activities are there today, like they come in the box?
So out of the box, you get what's about 85 or so what's called standard activities. And these are activities that range from doing text file manipulations, like being able to read from files, create new files, move files, delete files, to being able to query databases. So run, you know, insert, update, deletes, and selects. To being able to query web services even. So I can query a web service, get the XML back from that web service, and then use a query XML object to parse out the information that I want. So a lot of the workflows, a lot of the runbooks that you want to build can be built using just these standard activities that you get out of the box.
Nice. So yeah, that's sort of off the shelf kind of things I want to do. Now I'm thinking in the context of service manager. So a guy needs additional privileges. You know, I want access to that SharePoint service or something like that. And I know service manager has a workflow piece that allow for proper checking and so forth. But when you actually go to take the activity, that goes to Orchestrator?
Yes. So you could actually have, when it's time to actually grant those rights or create that new share or whatever you're wanting to do, that's where Service Manager could trigger this Orchestrator workflow. And the beauty of it is, let's take Service Manager for an example. It has an SDK behind it and an API behind it. But if you've ever delved into the Service Manager SDK and the API and the way things are structured, it gets complicated really fast.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of relationships. There's a whole lot of what's called type projections. And it just, writing code against it can be rather complex.
Sure.
So what happens with Orchestrator is we get an integration pack for Service Manager, which is a bunch of activities designed to work directly against Service Manager. It basically encapsulates the SDK. So now I'm able to just drag and drop a bunch of activities on to be able to, say, monitor for an incident to go into a certain state, or to help me update a service request once I actually get triggered and I create that new file share.
Mm-hmm.
And it encapsulates the complexity of the SDK while still giving me almost all of the power that's there if I was, say, writing a C# application against the Service Manager SDK.
All right, so we could count on stuff like anything really to Active Directory, obviously, but does it get into specific products? What about setting up Exchange mailboxes or, you know, privileges into SharePoint, those kinds of things?
There are integration packs for Exchange. There's integration packs for Active Directory. There's integration packs for all the System Center products.
Right.
So for Operations Manager, Config Manager. And all of those integration packs are free. Microsoft provides them for free, and you can download them and install them. They've also, though, got integration packs for other third-party applications, such as IBM Tivoli or HP Service Manager, mm-hmm. or there's several other out there, again, that are provided for free. So you can find integration packs to access the applications you're trying to deal with. And if you can't find Microsoft doesn't provide a version, you can go to codeplex.com and usually find a community version to access the system you want to access.
So this actually, is this like PowerShell? There's been a community growing up around this, building all kinds of stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you go to scorch.codeplex.com or orchestrator.codeplex.com, you'll see tons of integration packs out there that the community has said, hey, we need some more detailed math functions that aren't available in Orchestrator out of the box. Let me add that. Or I need to be able to do this with Exchange, and it's not in the Exchange integration pack. I'm going to build that activity and then put it out there for free.
Because in the end, it's all PowerShell, isn't it?
PowerShell or C#.
Okay.
It's a little bit of both. You can actually build your own custom activities, which is what I've done for clients before.
Hmm.
So you can actually build your own custom activities and integration packs. I built one for Front Range Heat, which is another help desk product, because we wanted to integrate SCOM with Front Range Heat. So right. I built an integration pack that allowed me to open tickets in Front Range Heat. And I built that with C# and the Front Range SDK.
Yeah, because the relationship with Operations Manager is kind of interesting. I mean, the logical thing for me with Operations Manager is I'm watching for critical events or serious events that I want to take action on.
Correct.
And you really literally automate that? That's not just big red light for the IT guy to see?
Well, what we can do is a couple of different things. First off, we can have Orchestrator sit and watch for certain events to be thrown or alerts to be thrown in Operations Manager. Mm-hmm. And then when those alerts are thrown, maybe we automatically take some corrective action to try to fix the problem. Now, Operations Manager allows you to do that sort of already because it has built-in diagnostics and recoveries that you can kick off when an alert goes into a certain state.
Sure.
But Orchestrator allows us to do some more detailed and advanced workflows than we can necessarily do from a diagnostic and a recovery. But another way that we also use Orchestrator, in addition to trying to automate recoveries in Ops Manager, is in my runbooks that I build, if a runbook enters a critical state, or say it tries to access an Exchange mailbox and it can't access that Exchange server, I have it automatically open an alert for me in SCOM. So then an operator is aware that something bad is happening, this workflow is not working, and it's actually taking the action to throw the alert in SCOM so somebody's aware of it as quickly as possible.
Interesting. So you Orchestrator problems then come back to OpsMan as well.
Exactly.
Although you could also feed them to Service Manager, couldn't you?
Yes, I can, and we can do that as well. We've had companies that have said we want to, when we detect issues that are happening, or maybe when an alert gets thrown in SCOM, we want to automatically create an incident in Service Manager.
Right.
So we can create all of that interconnectedness, which is why I like to say this Orchestrator really is a blank slate where you just have to figure out what you want it to do and then just put the activities together to make that happen.
Yeah, so if you don't want to deal with Service Manager, you can do this through OpsMan and Orchestrator together. But I mean, I got a soft spot for ITIL, and I like that just the trail that Service Manager generates for you to see this is what happened and what actions were taken and so forth. It's just logged really nicely.
Oh, absolutely. I'll derail the talk talking about Service Manager because I think it is a great product that fits a perfect niche that System Center needed that now allows the System Center family to provide everything you need to allow people to do what they need to do in their data centers.
Yeah, the piece that's really excited me living in the DevOps world has been using Service Manager to allow self-provisioning of VMs for testing on the dev side. Not so much that it was, particularly magical that you could do that to say, hey, I need to light up a test rig for this app, which is X many VMs, and it stands them all up. It's just the record keeping to know who stood it up, when they stood it up, how long it ran for, when it got cleaned up, or if it got cleaned up. I just get a warm fuzzy about that because I can't tell you how many places I've gone into where the virtual machines are out of control and nobody knows why these things are running.
Oh, absolutely. And what's nice about that scenario is, especially when you're using Service Manager, more than likely behind the scenes, you're using Orchestrator to actually spin up those VMs
right.
or, bring those VMs back down. And Orchestrator is also involved in keeping the ticket in Service Manager updated with what's the current state of the environment or, the environment's been spun up or now it's been spun down. Yes, the accountability is there, and Service Manager provides you that accountability while Orchestrator provides you that engine that gets it all done.
So it feels to me like you never use Orchestrator without using something else around System Center, at least OpsMan. Or well, you just talked about a scenario where you had a guy who didn't want to use OpsMan.
So you can. I mean, most of the time when you're using Orchestrator, it's been brought into your environment because, everybody, if you own any of the System Center 2012 products, you own all of them.
Right.
So it's most people are bringing it in going, oh, so I could integrate these two things. You could actually use Orchestrator to make a poor man's version of Operations Manager if you really wanted to, because it can do things like monitor for services and monitor files and monitor folders and things like that. But that would not be recommended.
Without Service Manager, what kind of logging does Orchestrator generate just to show what activities it's done?
It depends. It depends on the logging level that you've turned on. Mm-hmm. By default, Orchestrator is going to keep track of all the runbooks that are running, and it's going to actually tell you if a runbook tried to start but couldn't start, or if it can't connect to the data store, or things like that. you can turn on more detailed logging, which is called activity-specific logging, which then will track every time the runbook runs for each activity, all of the inputs to that activity, all of the outputs to that activity, as well as any other just general runbook-related information. However, as you can imagine, that starts to build up the files in the database or the size of the database.
For sure.
And then there's also debugging aspects or trace logging, where if you have a runbook that you just can't solve, you just can't figure out why it doesn't work, you could turn on trace logging, which then just generates a ton of information for you.
Yeah, like, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
I mean, I can imagine you build some pretty elaborate runbooks, and it a lot of this if-then stuff can get complex. If this piece fails, then go over here. Like, I'm often dealing with scripts where there are a lot of failure modes that are recoverable. So it's not just, if you fail, stop. But if you fail, try this instead.
Exactly. And you can do that same kind of thing in Orchestrator as well. In Orchestrator, you have your activities. And those activities are connected together by things that are called links. And in those links, it's where you can go into those links and you can specify basically your if-then statements. Your follow this link if this stuff is true. And then you can also build in recoveries. You could say, you know, if this is false, then follow this path instead and try to fix it and then come back up here and run again. One of the beauties of Orchestrator, though, that really makes it a nice product is this concept of what's called a data bus.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in Orchestrator is you have an activity that runs. When that activity runs, and then it pushes all of its output onto the data bus, then the next linked activity runs. And it can access any of the activity that was previously pushed onto the data bus.
Oh, wow.
You have an activity that's 10 activities down in your chain, and it can access anything from the previous 9.
Hmm.
Literally by just right-clicking and selecting subscribe to publish data. It's super simple. And once people grasp that concept, it really opens their eyes to the power of the stuff you can do with Orchestrator Runbook.
No kidding. And is there a sense of transaction? If I get to 9 steps down into this and it fails, can I roll back everything that's happened?
Out of the box, it doesn't maintain state for you. But there are some really smart people out there that have figured out how to basically build their own state engine into Orchestrator. And you can find these at a couple of different blogs out there where you basically keep track of where you are in your runbook. And then if your runbook fails out for whatever reason, or the server goes down in the middle of running the runbook and the runbook starts back up, then you can figure out where you were and pick back up.
Interesting. So recoverable transactions as well as rollback. I mean, I can imagine you're trying to provision a new user using a runbook and you've given them privileges that just aren't available for some reason. And so you're going to want to run that again, but the user's already created. So cleaning up from a failed runbook could be a real pain in the butt.
It can be. That's why you have to build your run. Building runbooks, it's a development process. You have to build your runbooks to be able to take into account rollbacks, to be able to take into account recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, a lot of people see the demos of Orchestrator and they go, oh, we'll just sit down, slap some activities on there, and, you know, 2 hours from now, we're going to have this super complex runbook that does everything we need. And that's honestly not the case.
Yeah, I can imagine. You could make a big mess with this, too. But I like the idea that all my scripts live somewhere. Although, again, you keep telling me they don't have to be scripts.
Well, they don't have to be scripts. But I do have an invoke.net object, which allows me to invoke PowerShell scripts or allows me to invoke C# or VB.net. And what's nice about that is, let's say you're using the same script in 30 different runbooks.
Mm-hmm.
I could then take that script, turn it into a custom activity, and use that custom activity in all 30 of those runbooks.
Right.
And what that gets me is code reuse. If I ever have to update the script, I update the one activity, and it automatically updates all the runbooks.
Interesting. So am I turning my IT guys into developers, or am I recruiting from the dev team to be part of this process?
In my experience, it's both.
Yeah?
In my experience, IT pros are already partially developers anyway.
Right.
Because they're writing scripts. And developers, you know, and I am a developer, need to learn a little bit more about the IT pro side in some respects. But in a way, in the classes that I teach on Orchestrator and consulting that I do, I see both branches of people in there. And a lot of times on the projects that I'm involved with, you've got both developers and IT pros learning this and working together to make this happen, which is really, in a way, you know, kind of what DevOps is all about.
Yeah, sure, without a doubt. Getting more of this automated Anything I do twice, right, should have been automated by the second time.
Exactly.
That interaction get really interesting. What's the dev environment? Is it all within Orchestrator, or is there a role for Visual Studio here?
There's not a role for Visual Studio unless you're building some custom activities.
Okay.
But for just building the actual runbooks, you've got the runbook designer, which is, like I said, it's got the drag-and-drop surface where you've got your list of all your activities and you can drag them over and link them together. There's a runbook tester that allows you to test your runbooks so you can do some simple testing before you would actually deploy it. And it's actually got things like breakpoints and step-through, so you can step from activity to activity and see what the inputs and outputs were so you can verify that it's working the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, there's also an orchestration console, which is a web-based console which allows you to view what's currently running in your production environment, allows you to stop runbooks, kick off runbooks. It's kind of, you know, it's just a web-based version of being able to monitor and handle what's happening in your orchestrator environment.
Yeah, I could see that being a dashboard, especially if I've got it plugged into Service Manager, that being a busy little dashboard. There's always some runbooks running somewhere.
Yes, there are, and there's always, and not always, or at least you hope there's not, but there's sometimes those runbooks that, you know, don't stop when they're supposed to stop, or
right.
They don't start when you expect them to. And in the Orchestrator console, you can see events and other things that may have been thrown to help you diagnose what's happening.
Do you find, what's a typical duration for a runbook? I think it might be fractions of a second for some of them, but...
It depends on what the runbook's trying to do.
Sure.
For a lot of them, it may happen very quick. For several of them, it could be several minutes if they're, you know, kicking off to talk to a web service and waiting for some stuff to come back before they can do something, or they're, you know, executing something on a third-party system and they're waiting for a response or file to get written out before they move on. So it just depends on what your runbook is trying to do.
Sure, yeah. But, I mean, I can't imagine you'd ever want a runbook that went for days.
No, I can't imagine that you would either, to be perfectly honest.
Interesting. So any tips, pointers for folks who are just getting started with Orchestrator? What's the big gotcha?
So a couple of the big gotchas around Orchestrator is what you're going to need in your environment. So from an architecture perspective, you've got your management server, which is what's designed for, you know, allowing your consoles to connect to the database and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also going to have your runbook servers, and your runbook servers are what actually execute the different runbooks. And by default, a runbook server can only execute 50 concurrent runbooks at the same time.
Okay.
So if you're going to have more than 50 runbooks executing at the same time, you're going to possibly need multiple runbook servers.
Wow.
Now, that value can be changed, but that is the best practice value recommended by Microsoft.
I'm trying to imagine how you get to 50.
Well, you can get to 50. We have clients that have several thousand runbooks.
Yeah.
So you can get to 50 pretty darn quick.
I'm just thinking 50, but you're talking about 50 simultaneously.
50 simultaneous, but you can have runbooks that call other runbooks. And then let's say you've got your error checking runbooks that are being triggered by all of your different other runbooks. You're suddenly you have runbooks spinning up runbooks, and suddenly you're executing 300 runbooks at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
So from an architecture perspective, you need to be aware of that. You also need to be aware that by default, you have one primary runbook server and multiple secondary servers.
Okay.
And you can't load balance or anything that primary. So if the primary is not available or it's busy, then you'll start automatically daisy chaining down to the secondaries.
Okay.
But there's just certain things about the architecture you need to be aware to always keep in mind.
Yeah, and I guess I don't know how I feel about that. As a guy who's big on high availability and so forth, this seems like a single point of failure.
Well, sort of, other than if it tries to hit the primary runbook server, and let's say the primary runbook server is down,
right,
then it will automatically try to go to a secondary. And
okay.
Then it will go to the next secondary, and you've got a list of all your secondaries, and it will just try to keep hitting each one. And then if ultimately it can't get to any of them, it will just queue it up and then keep trying until it can finally find a runbook server.
Oh, okay.
So it's never going to just go, oh, I can't find anything, the heck with you. It will keep trying to execute that particular runbook.
Well, now I start thinking in terms of, could I create an automated way to light up additional runbook servers when we came under load, but I'd probably want to use Orchestrator for that.
You probably wouldn't want to use Orchestrator for that. And then you're kind of in a catch-22.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you were talking that you do get the occasional runaway or fail to start. Like, there are weird things that happen?
Yes, there are. And so if you've got SCUM in place, you can actually build monitors in there to help you monitor Orchestrator. And there's manager packs out there to help you monitor Orchestrator, monitor the Orchestrator runbooks. Mm-hmm. So you could actually have alerts that get thrown inside of Operations Manager when a runbook throws an error.
Right.
And then even have tasks on the right-hand side of Operations Manager to restart that runbook.
Okay, yeah. So a real console for managing and manipulating is, as you watch things go on.
Exactly.
Other things I want to be looking at as I get engaged in Orchestrator.
So other things you want to be looking at is, and this is more from a conceptual side, but you've got to take the time to plan out your runbooks.
Mm-hmm.
It literally is a development process. So it's not just a matter of just sitting down and throwing a bunch of activities on there, because you're not going to make your runbook efficient, and it's actually going to take you longer to build. You need to have, I'm not saying you got to do a whole waterfall method, but you need to have some sort of upfront thinking about design. What am I trying to do with my runbooks? Another thing to keep in mind that some people don't realize is, I mentioned there's the runbook tester.
Mm-hmm.
And the runbook tester, it allows you to test your runbooks, but there's a catch with that. When I execute a runbook with the runbook tester, it's actually running on my local machine and running as me. It's not running as the runbook service account.
Right.
So therefore, I may have different permissions than the runbook service account.
Oh, of course.
And this actually came back to haunt me as I was working with a client. It took me about an hour to try to figure out why it worked on my machine, but it didn't work on the runbook server, and that it turned out to just be a permissions error.
How many permissions does the Orchestrator service account require? Because you could be reaching into everything.
And it depends. So depending on the activities that you're using, some of the activities you can specify that they run as a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, a runbook in general runs as the runbook service account. So
okay.
That means if you're trying to access a file share, you're trying to access the database, you're trying to access whatever, then the runbook service account has to have the appropriate rights.
Or can you assign a permission set to a given activity?
Some activities you can. It depends on the activity.
Okay.
There's actually a configuration section on the activity that allows you to specify run as this particular user.
Yeah, because I think I would like to do the overall run as the service account with fairly restrictive rights, and then impersonate another account to step out to SQL Server or things like that just for that particular activity.
And what we also have clients do sometimes is they actually spin up different runbook servers with different runbook service accounts,
mm-hmm.
and then they specify, well, this runbook runs on this runbook server, because that server has the permissions that are needed to be able to execute correctly.
Right.
Or it has the third-party applications installed on it that this runbook is trying to access.
I could see this is one of those bugs you're going to chase around for a while, is a permissions bug.
Yes. Those are the ones that are usually the most frustrating.
Yeah. And the reflex is just give me everything. And it scares me. You know, you could end up with a runbook that could really wreak havoc if the service account was, you know, an overall domain or enterprise admin account, effectively.
And that's a concern that many people have in when they start working with Orchestrator, is a permissions aspect. And one of the things you can do in Orchestrator is you can control who can access what runbooks via permissions. So you are able to restrict who can access what in the runbook designer, as well as who can actually trigger and run what runbooks.
Right. And again, yeah, I would think rarely do you want to give people direct access to run specific runbooks. It's always going to be over top of another console, over top of OpsMan, or over top of Service Manager.
Correct. Or a lot of times people will put an icon on their desktop, which they can just double-click, and it kicks off some PowerShell that triggers something in Orchestrator. Orchestrator has a web service behind it,
mm-hmm.
and in that web service, you can view what's happening in Orchestrator. You can kick off runbooks, you can stop runbooks. So one of the things that you can do is, if somebody needs to be able to execute a specific runbook, say you've made a runbook for HR
mm-hmm.
to do something that they need, you could just put a little icon on their desktop where it executes a little PowerShell that triggers the Orchestrator web service to kick off that runbook.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's maybe I'm overthinking this thing. It's like, it sounds like the start of this is just you have a specific need from a specific user within your organization that says, hey, I really wish I could do this. And you could build it up in Orchestrator, have it in a common place. Something I would have normally built a PowerShell script for. Now it's just, I can route it through Orchestrator so that I have a central repository and monitoring and logging for it.
And that's 100% what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that you would normally write scripts for,
yeah.
That's one of the places that Orchestrator tends to shine. You spoke earlier about spinning up VMs for testing and whatnot.
Sure.
I actually have worked with some people where they are using Orchestrator and Service Manager to do just that. So the developers come in and request a new developer VM for up with particular criteria, and then they track that with a service request, and they use Orchestrator to spin it all up and mm-hmm. manage the whole cloud environment. It's really kind of cool when you see it in action.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things like, now why would I not use Orchestrator all of the time? As soon as I have just a handful of PowerShell scripts, I started having management and monitoring problems.
And I have found, now that I've been using Orchestrator a good bit, I'm slowly finding, even in my home test server and test environment, mm-hmm. where I used to write scripts all the time to do different things, I find, well, I could just do that in Orchestrator pretty quick, too. And then,
right.
hey, all I have to do is export that and import it into our company's demo environment, and now everybody can use it and show it off. And
nice.
So it's changing my scripting habits.
Yeah, so scripts aren't going away.
No.
You're just managing them and in some cases not needing to write them because you've got a draggy, droppy, clicky Visio thing to assemble the same outcome.
But to make everybody calm, scripts are not going away. I rarely work on an Orchestrator engagement where I don't write at least one script
sure.
that gets triggered in my runbook somewhere.
Well, and is there any reason I couldn't take this script that works just fine and route it through Orchestrator with a couple of changes so that I get the monitoring and logging effect?
Absolutely no reason whatsoever. And the beauty of using a script like that is, remember I talked about this data bus.
Yep.
So all these previous activities are writing out to the data bus. Your script can actually get information from the data bus, and then it can push information back out to the data bus for other activities after your script to use as well.
Right.
So it just becomes another activity at that point.
Just part of an overall chain. Okay, you got me hooked now, Mickey. I love this, that an existing environment, lots of scripts already floating around there, and now I bring this tool in and just help pull those things together, organize and document them better.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned, it's basically kind of just like development. So before you start building a complex Orchestrator runbook, do a quick search. See what's out there already that you can build off of. There's a lot of people out there that are blogging and writing about this stuff, and they're putting their sample Orchestrator runbooks out there, where then it could give you at least a foundation to be able to build off of what you need.
Awesome. Mickey, it's so much fun to talk to you. Tell me a little bit about InFront. What are you guys doing over there?
So, InFront Consulting Group is a System Center consulting group. We're mm-hmm. a Managed Gold partner, and we focus on System Center. We are both training and consulting.
Cool.
We do the entire family of the suite.
So a place for people to get help if they need it.
Exactly.
And where are we going to see you next?
I will actually be at DevLink 2013 this week in Chattanooga, Tennessee, talking on both DevOps and Orchestrator.
Yep. I think the show comes out after that, so.
Oh, well, too bad for everybody else.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure where I'm going to be after that, other than I'll be at the MVP Summit at the end of the year.
Yeah, they moved MVP Summit to November, so a good chance to be over there.
The other place I just want to tell people, if you go to Channel 9
yep.
and just go to, say, MMS 2013 at Channel 9, you'll see a bunch of things around Orchestrator, a bunch of good talks around Orchestrator for people that want to learn more about Orchestrator.
Cool. Mickey, so much fun to talk to you.
Hey, thank you, Richard. Appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.